Hawaii's Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A former president hospitalized this Christmas Eve. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze is in Washington.
Former President Bill Clinton is under routine observation at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital here in Washington. He was admitted Monday afternoon for testing after developing a fever. His spokesperson tells us he's awake, fine and alert, and in good spirits. Clinton, who is 78 years old, has been on a media tour in recent weeks promoting his latest book.
Doctors hopeful that Clinton will be out and with his family for Christmas Day tomorrow. We're still trying to figure out what's happening, but American Airlines has requested a ground stop for all of its flights today. It's said to be a technical issue that they are working on, and they say things should be back to normal soon. No consensus by the Committee on Foreign Investment on whether the sale of U.S. steel to Japan's Nippon Steel would pose a U.S. security threat, so the decision on the $15 billion deal is being left up to President Biden. This is ABC News. Public health officials are investigating the first human case of bird flu found in Los Angeles County. The patient is an adult exposed to infected livestock, now recovering at home. People in Greensboro, North Carolina, raising thousands of dollars online for the family of a police officer who was fatally shot on Monday. The officer responding to reports of an armed man in a Food Lion supermarket.
People are sharing moving tributes for Officer Michael Horan online. He's the officer that was killed in the line of duty. Now, according to radio traffic, the suspect was captured in Duplin County after a multi-county chase.
That's ABC's Akilah Davis in Greensboro. The American astronauts on the International Space Station sending holiday wishes from orbit.
It's a great time of year up here. We get to spend it with all of our family up on the International Space Station. There's seven of us up here, and so we're going to get to enjoy company together.
That's Sonny Williams, one of the astronauts stuck on the space station due to problems with Boeing Starlink. This is ABC News.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. Izervay
or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. And trying
the
to make
Bucks win again. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. No Giannis or Damian Lillard, but the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 112-91. Giannis out with back spasms. Lillard dealing with an illness. Chris Middleton had one of his best performances, scoring 21 points.
RSA is the best. I don't want to think this is the best I will be. Hopefully I continue to get better. It felt good. I mean, I just wanted to be aggressive. When Damian Giannis out, that's going to be my opportunity for the run. I'm just trying to take advantage of it in the right way.
NFL, the Packers beat the Saints 34-0.
What seems like Monday an eternity, Kim Green Bay the chaos able to with her own spot in the playoffs in prime time
with the first shutout in the NFL this season.
Find, Packers really quarterback Macaulay Jordan Culkin. Love after the only good thing about the video is that her singing mercifully stops along with the music about midway through. So it's just her crawling with weird images. It's just something you have to see for yourself, folks. You can check it out free on YouTube, but you'll still want your money. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about 400 $100 million. Wicked Leapfrog Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not so great reviews. The Brutalist, a 3.5-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on four screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wava, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have a little patchy fog in a few spots this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high in the low to mid-30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more patchy fog, and it could be frosty, too. Our low in the 20s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy for Christmas Day with a high in the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Earl Ingram.
Join me next time for a very special Christmas Eve show. We'll be joined by my regular co-host Sandy Williams to talk about our Christmas plans and get the politics out of your system headed into the holidays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota for this Christmas Eve of 2024. It's 7:06 and nice to have you along. We're going to be talking all about 2024 today on our last live version of Up North News Radio for the year. Thursday and Friday, we'll tell you about some of the rundowns there as we take time looking back at the year in news and interviews. And then Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly will be filling in for me next week, Monday and Tuesday. And then I'll be back live on Thursday, January 2nd. So doing all of that review today with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Greg Bach, and Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, I'm really good now. I'm really, really good now. And it's all thanks to Rob and Tigerton. He puts three different comments up on Facebook. The first one says, Merry Christmas, Pat, Greg, and Brittany. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. We love you, buddy.
Yeah. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 23. We had a half inch of snow. The major highways are in good winter driving condition with slippery spots and stretches on county and town roads. I was busy plowing and salting. It was great to see a Packer beatdown of the Saints. First NFL shutout game of the 2024 season, 34-0 Packers.
I would like to say that's great, but more importantly, the Jets lost this weekend and they are 4-11. And that's just good time holiday feelings for the old Gregor.
It is. It is. It's Schadenfreude is the best gift you could give at Christmas time. Rob goes on to mention that in our last segment, Brittany, we talked about how the number one song on Christmas Eve of 1968.
What's that?
Was Marvin Gaye's "Heard It Through the Grapevine."
Okay.
We played that.
Oh.
But it was Rob who told us he looked at the album chart and said that the number one album, and I went and looked, I verified, from Christmas 1968. Was by Glenn Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I cannot tell you how many times you're going to hear this during our best of show later this week.
I am alive and full of couchy.
Look at that. We got her in for one syllable.
And I drive the main road.
We were talking about.
Oh, God.
For another overload.
We just get weepy over Wichita linemen.
By the way, every time we do this, both Don Rosen and Earl kind of look up like, what is he doing?
I am seriously not kidding. When I put together the best of shows, how many times you're going to hear that during one of the segments. Friday in the 7 a.m. hour.
Do we have a best of Wichita linemen?
We have an entire segment devoted to Wichita linemen.
That's awesome.
It might take down Greg yet. All right. So, Brittany, we do, in between Glenn Campbell snippets, do have some weather with, you know, some conditions for folks that are traveling just to be mindful of.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually hitting a dry stretch right now through the day today and into tomorrow. So perfect timing. It'll be partly sunny throughout the day today, highs in those low 20s in parts of northeast Wisconsin, but for the rest of the state, mid to upper 20s today. Maybe a few flurries flying by the lake, but nothing major, no accumulations. Otherwise, tomorrow on Christmas, it's going to be partly cloudy, upper 20s to some low 30s. We do have a little bit of weather moving in at night, so pay attention to that because temperatures are going to be flirting with that freezing mark as a system lifts in from the south. Now, again, this is Christmas night where we are looking at some freezing drizzle and some freezing fog starting to take over as these warm temperatures move in. So slick spots are possible Wednesday night into early Thursday morning. But otherwise, after that, we're looking at rain throughout the entire weekend and temperatures warming above freezing, melting any snow that is out there, and of course, turning Wisconsin a bit muddy. So that'll be the case as we go into Thursday. That fog arrives, that light drizzle, and then the rain really ramps up as we hit Friday and into the weekend.
And I would imagine, just a guess on my part, but with all that melting of the snow, it's going to lead to foggy mornings for a few days here. So again,
Absolutely. Just
to be mindful, keep that in mind. Dan, you're up in the Minocqua area at a family cabin. How much snow cover you got up there right now?
Yeah, we got a lot of snow. We probably have, 8 inches of snow. I've been skiing every single day recently.
Nice.
So a little sad. Actually, no, very sad to hear that, Brittany, but I won't blame you.
Yeah. I know.
Not your fault.
It's
not at all. Roger writes in on Facebook from Stevens Point, from our house to your house, no matter how near, no matter how far, with love, hope, joy, and peace, wishing all of you Merry Christmas. And thank you very much, Roger.
Roger, I wish you a Merry Christmas as well. And just want to say, times like this that really make me think of the holidays and those we love.
And those you don't, apparently.
As Paul McCartney put it in this song, we're all here. And that's enough.
That's all you need. Love is all you need. Yeah. Back when he was writing good lyrics. Brittany, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, Brittany.
All right.
Bye, Brittany.
A reminder, you can follow what we do at Up North News by subscribing to our daily newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. And get that newsletter every weekday morning. Once the new year starts again, we'll get things fired up in 2025. So, yes, the Packers were winners over the New Orleans Saints in dominating fashion, 34-0. Jordan Love, 16 of 28 for 182 yards and a passing touchdown. Josh Jacobs, 107 yards from scrimmage and scored a touchdown for his sixth straight game. Christian Watson did leave the game with a knee injury, so that was a little concerning. But at 11-4, the Packers have now put themselves into the postseason as a wild card. It's the fifth time in 6 years they've made the postseason with Matt LaFleur as head coach. The Packers have now won 9 of their last 11 games. The Packers next play the Minnesota Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium in downtown Minneapolis next Sunday. That game has been moved thanks to the NFL's flex scheduling. So next Sunday's game will be at 3:25, and you can listen on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. The Bucks beat the Bulls 112-91 yesterday. The Bucks next will host Brooklyn on Thursday. So we mentioned Dan Hagen is here from WJFW-TV and actually enjoying some time off up at the family cabin. We covered all kinds of great holiday traditions for your family, but if we put you back in work mode for just a moment, when you think about the stories that you covered for the station there up north, you can start either way, either from a serious standpoint or from a fun standpoint. What kind of stories are going to stick out for you from 2024?
We just had a story about this guy who had an electric insole in his boot while he was ice fishing. He's had it for about a year, and it caught on fire the other day. So something to be cautious of.
Make an sure electric
you have one of those
insole.
Under the tree, because I think they are very, depending on the quality, they can start on fire and cause some very bad burns.
Didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it just happened maybe a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And then, you know, continuing to monitor like snowfall last year, you know, we really depend on the snow up here for snowmobilers, and January and February were pretty depressing in 2024.
Yes.
So we have snow now, as Brittany said, we might lose a lot of it, but we really could use a lot of it coming up because a lot of people depend on it.
Well, you got all of January there to make up, get some more sub-zero days in, get the ice thickened up on the ice again, and hopefully get some snow for recreation. And you were no different than just about every other media outlet in terms of covering the 2024 election. You had new maps that folks had to get used to with the legislative districts. So what do you remember about 2024 in terms of covering the election from a Rhinelander standpoint?
Yeah, it's funny. It comes every, you know, 2 years really, or even more frequently in Wisconsin. But just meeting all of the politicians, seeing that they're real people, and talking to, you know, Tammy and Eric Hovde, and a lot of people swinging through Rhinelander, and then we won't see them again until election time. Mr. Hovde will be back in California. That's too bad. And yeah, it's just interesting that it comes in cycles. And, you know, now that it was over this time, I feel like, I don't know how well that time was spent on our end, you know, covering it so much. We have all these ads in every single ad break. So I don't know, maybe next year I'll do some reflection and maybe do a little less political coverage. We'll see.
Well, I tell you what, there's no doubt that the station there, I can say this confidently, was rolling in the money, because everybody was. The amount of spending was absolutely ridiculous. But I would remind folks the story I've told frequently, that the radio and TV stations I've worked at, they're very flush with cash when all those political ads are running. But, you know, then in the odd numbered years, there's like, you know, there isn't nearly that revenue stream. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you were expecting the folks at Newswatch 12 to give Dan a new car as a Christmas bonus, that's not happening. Doesn't work that way. Not Although fair. do you find, as I did when I was anchoring as well, that there's some folks that really think that you are like, well, they'd ask me if I knew Tom Brokaw. Do we work together? They think I was making Tom Brokaw money in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It doesn't quite work that way.
People would call markets. Me. Ellen would be on, and they would call me like, hey, this, I don't like what Ellen's doing. Tell it, like,
Let me just go over to the studio really quick. Hey, Ellen.
Yep.
She's really good with confrontation and notes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've been asked to go down and tell Pat Sajak, you know, that they got the word first. It doesn't quite work that way, but yeah, right. it is still, it's fun when people come in, and especially where you are, it's a, you know, just an adorable station, you know, that people see and go, oh, this is where all the magic happens.
It's funny. Whenever people get in, it's like, oh, this is a lot smaller than I thought it was. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it's humble. It's how you project yourself. So,
I agree.
All right. So you're back at it. What, next week, I suppose you're right back on duty.
Yep. I'll be back next week. This is typically a slower time, so we'll find any bake sales or chili cook-offs.
you get the news where it's happening. And in Rhinelander, in the middle of winter, that is the big story sometimes. Hey, Dan, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for interrupting your vacation to visit with us. And we'll talk to you a Tuesday or two from now once we get the year going.
Merry Christmas. I'm going to go listen to a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah, you are.
No. Why would he do that to himself?
Because he loves Christmas. Dan. Merry Christmas, Dan.
We'll talk to you later. When we come back, we'll run down the lineup of stories that we covered in 2024 and the stories that we'll be bringing to you and reliving them on Up North News Radio over the next few days. I'm Pat Kreitler from Lake Wasota. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Back now on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning, Christmas Eve 2024, 7:21 is the time right now. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, while we're away celebrating the holidays, but if you're still an early riser and you've got your radio tuned in, we will have on Thursday and Friday shows that are just packed with some of the memories of things that were done and said on Up North News Radio weekday mornings from 6 to 8. For example, for every Wednesday morning for over a year now, we've had our weekly climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff, where we talk not just about the threat of a changing climate, but also the opportunities that presents for a cleaner, green energy economy, the jobs that it creates, the way it can lower utility bills, all of that. So Thursday, our 6 a.m. hour is devoted to running back several of the interviews with folks who talked about the opportunities that this presents in Wisconsin. So you'll want to tune in for that. Then Thursday in the 7 a.m. hour, we have some conversations with folks like Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, kind of like the way we talked to Sherita Booker in our last hour, just get to know some of our reporters better. We have our usual holiday check-in with Melissa Baldoff and Joe Zepecki and find out how our favorite little political power couple is doing over the holidays and what they'll remember looking back on the year. We'll also hear from Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about the big issue that threatens Wisconsin farming and the rural economy, and by extension, the state economy. And that would be if the incoming Trump administration is serious about mass deportations and the disconnect that some folks feel when it comes to whether they think deportations will affect them or not. It will. Friday morning in our 6 a.m. hour, we'll review some of the headlines of the year, the way that they were covered in conversations, or you could say rants, depending on what kind of mood I was in that day. Everything from, the fake elector scheme to Donald Trump saying that he has concepts of a plan for health care. And then, of course, reaction to things like, Ron Johnson saying that, Putin is of course going to win in Ukraine. Well, yeah, if you continue to be a puppet to him. What Tom Tiffany had to say about refugees coming to Wisconsin, the difference between how Governor Evers invests in business around the Foxconn site versus how the Walker administration was doing it, all that and more in terms of Wisconsin news coverage over the past year. And then in our 7 a.m. hour on Friday, some of the fun moments, maybe one of Greg's favorites when there was the discovery on YouTube of video of a young Pat Kreitlow from 1982.
Oh, yes.
Covering a tornado live, and Pat realizing that live on air as I'm reading an email. Hope never to be shocked like that again.
I mean,
on air.
That hair made you what, 6'4", 6'5"?
Something like that. Yep. It was the big 80s. What can I say? Yep. So we had that moment. We also had just talking about high school radio station,
yeah,
and the battle between wanting to play Blue Oyster Cult versus Yacht Rock. there was Kristen Lyerly talking about her time as Goldie Gopher, and talking to Greg about Jump Around at Camp Randall. There was Dr. Lyerly's campaign itself. She announced her congressional campaign here on our show and made several observations throughout the course of the year about it. And as you heard earlier, there's some singing involved.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I won't say, I mean, it's the same song over and over again, but it's a song that we like.
Yes.
So why wouldn't we play it that way? It basically, I need that scoreboard to stay in my favor. The number of times we play Wichita Lineman versus Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. We just have to have balance in that. That's all I ask.
I understand that.
That is what we will have for you on Thursday and Friday. Then you and Kristen are, you're doing it live Monday and Tuesday.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
We even got a name for the show.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell us, or are you going to unveil it then?
I think we're going to unveil it on the day of the show. Well,
okay.
What would you say? What would you do? I guess it would be a teaser.
It would be. I mean, I'm sufficiently teased. I'm going to be listening in.
That's and Dr. Lyerly came up with this one. She wanted to call it the Bach in the Dock. No, Bach in the Dock. See, I messed
Bach
it up.
Bach in the Dock.
Bach in the Dock. That's. Let me just make sure I read that correctly. I'm real prepared here.
That sounds like a weird wrestling move you learned from a Hungarian coach who defected. That's crazy.
Put your arms on my neck and give me Bach in the Dock.
So as we talked about some of the headlines over the course of the year, you know, things that, look, you knew there was going to be an election, okay? But did anybody think that we were going to get an election with a candidate that said, well, if you're living in a nursing home, I mean, you're going to be dead soon.
Yeah.
So you're not really in a position to vote. The same guy that said farmers are lazy, and if you're overweight, you should pay more for health care. And if you're in your 30s, you should be forced to work until your 70s. That was really not the U.S. Senate campaign that we were expecting.
No, because Eric Hovde didn't start. Well, no, I guess he did start like that because a lot of those comments were made early. But then it just got darker and darker. As Mitch McConnell's money made its way into his campaign, he had to go darker and darker.
Darker and more divisive. Mm-hmm. And by the way, here's a fair question to ask in hindsight now. Because it used to be what Eric Hovde did was a big no-no. Would this race have been different if he had decided to not bring back the cartoon villain Yosemite Sam mustache that he had? Because he was all clean-shaven in 2012 and for much of that time prior to announcing. But then when he announced, it was like, oh, the mustache is back. That's a choice that you made.
That's the one thing about him that I was like, good. I liked it. It worked.
Did you?
Okay. It worked for him. It worked for me at least. I'm like, that looks nice. It doesn't look terrible. It's not like it's real thin and like four hairs. You know?
No. Yeah. It kind of reinforced the, again, the Southwestern, you know, banker persona to me. But, and then there was that other interesting choice of starting the campaign while shirtless and submerged in an icy lake.
Yeah.
To prove his Wisconsin bona fides.
Yeah.
And saying, what did he say about Senator Baldwin? Come in and join me. The water's fine. It didn't work.
It's what we call overcompensating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to overcompensate when you're in icy water, Greg. I think
you understand.
Oh, we'll talk more about some of the headlines of 2024 when we come back from break. We'll hear the Midwest Farm Report and much more here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For the 46 million people living in rural America, it's the holiday season can present added pressure to an already stressful time of year.
Not be in addition to higher rates of depression, suicide rates among people in rural areas are 64% higher
compared to people living in large urban areas.
A new farm bill done.
Rural Minds is a nonprofit with vision of a rural America.
The new extension would expire on September 30th of 2025.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Jeff Winton, the founder and chairman of Rural Minds, explains how the holidays can increase pressures on families.
The holidays can be especially stressful for those of us who live on farms. You all know, as I do, that farming can be a financial
Representative Dan Newhouse,
with many factors out of our control.
Look at your morning
mortgage right after this. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. Whether that's buying gifts or entertaining during the holidays, that can contribute to anxiety and depression. Since many farm families like mine work 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, it can also be difficult to attend holiday gatherings if they conflict with when livestock should be fed or cows need to be milked, leaving some people feeling left out.
That's Jeff Winton,
year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning market.
It provides a beneficial fungi called
AMF,
a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water.
That is also with no change.
When used with Source,
cash soybeans are trading at 972¾,
helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most.
New crop beans are trading at
for the maximum acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants.
Source it with Blueprint.
Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
And new crop wheat is trading.
I'm Charity
Seebecker
for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness
news. 2.5 cents.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is seeking applicants for the position of District 4 coordinator in West Central Wisconsin. Duties include working with volunteer Farm Bureau leaders in a 6-county territory to develop and implement programs to serve Farm Bureau members, organizing and conducting activities that result in membership growth, and more. You can learn more about this as well as find other agriculture news stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter as you'll receive stories delivered to your inbox every day.
For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a little patchy fog in a few spots this morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more patchy fog, and it could be frosty too. Our low in the 20s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy for Christmas Day with a high in the mid 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm on a little bit of a break, but not to worry. Host of Amicus, Jim Santel, guest host next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I have a very different mindset on Christmas and holiday music than I normally do. Sherry and I realized that. We were in the car the other day, and I think she said at first, she said there was a Christmas music station on, and she said, if you want to turn it, you know, back to regular music, go ahead. And I said, you know what? Unlike a lot of years where I kind of want to wait, I don't want to get such an early start, I think after this year, I was ready earlier than ever. I think our tree went up earlier than ever.
Yeah.
I think we all needed, we needed a break.
Yes.
We needed a diversion.
Agreed.
And the holidays filled it in very, very nicely. Now, it leads to this question. We kind of started the holiday season earlier than we normally do. Are you one of those folks who, at 7 p.m. the Christmas night or December 26th or January 1st, like all the Christmas stuff comes down. That's it. It's done. Or are you one of those that it kind of lingers and you're like, you know, I could put Valentine's on this tree, you know?
this could be our year-round tree.
Yes.
My sister buys the Christmas tree, puts it up, puts a picture on Facebook, and everyone knows what's going to happen. I don't know if it's every year, but a couple of years she has thrown it out on Christmas night.
Oh my, Christmas night!
It's
Christmas. You are done.
Take down all the things, and then right, and like see you next year, suckers.
Wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
We don't do a tree because we have a dog and we like our stuff.
Yes, that's a good call to make. I do know a couple. They are empty nesters. And one year, one of their adult kids came home. I want to say it was, you know, early, maybe almost mid-January, and made a crack about their tree still being up. It was artificial. Made a crack about their tree being up. And in one of the Hall of Fame passive-aggressive moves on behalf of parents, it did have Valentine's on it, and it did have Easter decorations up. And I don't remember how long it went. I don't think it went to the 4th of July, but at some point, this person we know kind of surrendered and said, sorry, mom and dad, I'd made fun of your tree, but they're like, no, we'll keep this up all year. If you want to be that way,
you want to make this a thing. Oh, you want to make this a thing? Huh? Huh? I could do this all day. It's artificial. It ain't dying. The only thing that's dying is your Christmas spirit.
That's right. I like that. Alicia writes in on YouTube. Absolutely not. New Year's is when it starts coming down. So there you go. Alicia's another one for New Year's is when it comes.
Do you get a little bit of Christmas bummed out on like the 26th? You're like, it's okay. Because personally, I don't care and I don't really like New Year's. It's not a holiday to me. It's not, I work on New Year's Eve anyways, both here and at the club. So it's not like a celebration night for me. And I'm just like, when the 26th of December rolls around, I'm like, okay.
Well, first off, I have to correct your word choice there. It's the club, apparently, is what the club, the kids,
it's true.
In the club,
the lurfing term, Kermity Kerb.
I've made so many people wince right now. No, for me, I mean, I do jump right into New Year's and, you know, kind of looking ahead, like what are we going to be working on and everything. And yeah, I kind of am ready to be done with Christmas by New Year's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't mind if the stuff stays around. It doesn't you know, offend me or anything.
Oh yeah.
But New Year's Day, you know, kind of you get thinking about resolutions and getting a fresh start on things. And one of my New Year's habits is the great email purge, because that's usually when I've got time. And it's funny, I noticed Sherry doing it just last night was, okay, let's start clearing some of this stuff out. And it gets harder every year. Not that I want to keep any of these emails, but that there's so many more than there were the year before. And it's just, I understand the people that, there are people that just completely just delete their Gmail and create a new account rather than deal with it. I think that's a little extreme.
That's extreme.
But yeah,
I just look at my emails and say, all right, what's more than a year and a half? And then I delete those. And even still, like, I'll look through and I'll keep a couple here and there and make sure to put them in the right folders. But I'm not starting a brand new email address. Get out of town. Blech.
No. I'll go through and do what I can. And, you know, again, I'm not going to worry about it. I see the important stuff. And usually I'm on the ball enough to tag things, you know, or put them in a folder or whatever. And sometimes, and there's no better feeling when you're like, I think I've seen that somewhere before. And I recall having to go dig up something from like my 2006 election campaign or something and go, yep, there it is. There it is. I saved that for a reason. It meant nothing to nobody else, but it was important to me. So,
well, that's all that matters.
That's right. That's all that matters.
I think that's important.
Yeah. So I hope that folks, whenever your tree comes down, look at this. It's Christmas Eve. We're talking about trees coming down. But however you transition through the holidays, you know, hope that it works all right for you.
Can we just start talking about Christmas 2025? How far are we away? 366 days, baby.
Yeah, let's go. Are you planning now? Are you planning now? No, it's going to be a busy enough 2025 as it is. We're going to have elections right away because, you know, this is Wisconsin. And here come the next round of elections. The filing deadline is, I believe, January 7th for school board races, state Supreme Court, superintendent of public instruction. If any primaries are needed, that will happen in February. But otherwise, the big election will be April 1st for a new state superintendent. For the state superintendent of public instruction, either the current incumbent, Jill Underlie, or a new state superintendent, depending on other candidates that get into the race. On the state Supreme Court, there will be a vacancy created by a progressive justice who's retiring, Ann Walsh Bradley, which means that conservatives have a chance to take control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, take it back from the liberal justices. And there again, there's already one prominent liberal candidate and one prominent conservative candidate. And we will not get into that now. But again, when we start talking about 2025 and previewing what's to come, it'll all be about the April elections first. There will, of course, also be a new state budget that will be worked on. And again, people hear state budget and their eyes kind of glaze over. But it is big because that sets the tone for state investments in education and infrastructure and the environment and all that. And you have a legislature with a much smaller Republican majority, but they're going to try to ram through as much as they can and dare Governor Evers to veto their things, starting with, I'm sure, a tax cut proposal. But three times in the last session, and you'll hear this in our year in review coverage on Thursday and Friday, three different times the Republican legislature passed what they called tax cut bills. But the tax cuts were so overwhelmingly geared toward people with six-figure incomes and seven-figure incomes that Governor Evers would line item veto them each time. With a smaller Republican majority now, will there be something a bit more bipartisan in the effort to say, okay, we've got a $4 billion surplus. How do we handle this fairly between tax cuts and other investments that can be made? We already know that Superintendent Jill Underlie is asking for a huge chunk of that surplus to be put toward public schools to make up for years and years of Republican legislative underfunding. We also learned yesterday that a coalition of groups for child care providers is going to ask for a substantial chunk of that surplus to be used for, again, helping child care providers, but also parents to be able to afford child care so that they can stay in the labor force. We know the University of Wisconsin system is certainly putting in a big budget request as well. So anybody on the Republican side of the aisle who thinks that they're just going to apply this $4 billion surplus all to tax cuts and, you know, geared toward the wealthy, well, then, you know, now it's Groundhog's Day. Now we're just playing the same games over and over again. And the question for, you know, folks who cover the legislature is that what we're going to see? Are we going to see just the same old games? Because you've got a group in the Assembly and in the Senate that did nothing but play games in the last session. They're still sitting on so much money that could have been used to clean PFAS out of our drinking water. They're still sitting on money that was supposed to implement literacy programs for our school kids, a literacy program that they mandated, but now are refusing to fund. there's money that they approved but would not release for Chippewa Valley Healthcare. There's the Lincoln Hills Correctional Center that they have been playing games with and delaying for so long that a staffer there was beaten to death over the summer by a 16-year-old at a center that should have been closed a long time ago. You had a legislature that was focused on firing more of Governor Evers' appointees to things like the Natural Resources Board and other posts rather than, again, approving the nominations of good, qualified people that are appointed by the governor who was elected by the people of the state. So there were just so many games played by the legislature these past few years since Governor Evers was first elected. And the question becomes, in the session that's going to kick off on January 6th, what are they going to do? Are they going to get serious about governing or not? And so we will be following that at Up North News, which, by the way, is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. And over at couriernewsroom.com, they've put together their own year in review about Courier. And I wanted to pass on a little bit about that. Courier, again, has 11 state-based newsrooms across the state, including here in Wisconsin with Up North News. And Courier, over 2024... tripled its total audience size, growing to over 5 million online subscribers who are getting pro-democracy news right into their social media feeds. And that is the main business model, if you will, of Courier, because it's part of our mission. Our mission is not to be just another traditional newsroom. We're looking to bring the news to people who are not normally news consumers. People who don't normally sit down and watch the 6 o'clock local news, but they are scrolling through social media. So we look to bring the news in a way that is appealing to folks as they're scrolling, get them to basically stop the scroll and take a few moments and see or hear a story about something important to them here in Wisconsin. But Courier Newsroom, I mean, in just the 90 days before Election Day, system-wide published nearly 2,500 election-related articles and gained 1.8 billion social media views and impressions. And you'll recall that we had a little roundtable with some of my Courier Newsroom colleagues from Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Arizona, four other swing states. And does Courier Newsroom make a difference? Well, I would point to this. Even though Donald Trump, from a national standpoint, won in all of those swing states, in every swing state except for Pennsylvania, there was either a Senate race or a gubernatorial race in a state where Trump won, but the Democratic candidate won as well for Senate or governor. And I would contend that is because a growing number of people at the state level were able to see stories, in this case, Wisconsin stories by a Wisconsin newsroom about the stakes of that particular election. They were able to see for themselves the real accomplishments here in Wisconsin, for example, of Senator Tammy Baldwin. So that Eric Hovde could make up all the stuff that he wanted, he could spread conspiracies, he could twist facts as much as he wanted. But this time around, people could also, from a Wisconsin newsroom, not get horse race coverage, not get both sidesism coverage, but get actual facts about the things that Senator Baldwin is saying and doing. And in Wisconsin and in other states, that's the kind of news that can make a difference. That's the kind of news that people want. They don't want spin. They don't want horse races. They want, just tell me what this person said or did while they were in office. And that's exactly what we did here, and Courier Newsroom did in plenty of other places. Courier became one of the leading news providers on TikTok in 2024 as well, because, again, that's where the news audiences of the future are. So we're looking forward to doing more of that in 2025 and having this humble little radio show as well. Back after this. You're Up North.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I know, normally with Chad here, we play his theme, but a little host prerogative. One more Christmas tune from the Muppets before we wrap things up, our last live show of the year for Up North News Radio. But Chad Holmes is with us, and he is playing injured, as they say. He's on the IL, but here he is just the same. The guy works in Petri dishes all over the region. I'm sorry, in high school gyms all over the region, and so it's no surprise that somebody's going to pick up a little bug now and then, and that appears to be you. Your turn.
Yeah, but it's nothing terrible. I'm basically going to, you know, every year, and I think sometimes it's up here too. It's like, uh-oh, it's that time of year, so it's I'm going to get it, and then all of a sudden it's that preconceived notion that gets you there. But
let me tell you about preconceived notions. I'm about to spend a week with the two youngest grandkids who, not every time, but for the first many times that I stayed there, I always came back with whatever they brought back from daycare. And so I say I'm going to be back live on Thursday, January 2nd, but that is TBD based on the runny noses of a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. So
I think I remember that. I think it was, maybe it was during the holidays last year, because I remember you doing exactly that, mm-hmm. where you were gone for like a week and then you came back and you were really knocked out, if I'm not mistaken.
I really was. You know, the things that little kids can tolerate, you know, is a little different than what their grandparents can. Nevertheless, it's going to be a really fun time. The 2-year-old, she is just, it's nothing but Frozen for her. So we've received so many Snapchat videos from my daughter of her just singing Let It Go in her Elsa costume. So we're going to see a lot of Frozen coming up over the next couple of days, but that's okay.
Oh,
it'll be really nice. What are you going to be up to, well, illness notwithstanding, for Christmas?
Well, today I'm not doing anything. So today it's about sucking it up, getting all this all the way, and then being ready tomorrow to truly enjoy the holiday itself. We're a holiday itself, people, so... But today it's just going to be a chill because for many years I've been doing this, and this has been as busy a last month as I've had. It's like there's been like every night it's driving me. I love doing it, but like at the same time, it's nice to have a moment or two not to do anything for a day. It's like, this is what I'm looking forward to.
Well, yeah, because you're right back into it. Friday, you've got games.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this year, for whatever reason, there's a lot of games like on Mondays and Saturdays that normally are a little bit lighter, but this year it has been jam-packed. So you're right. And I wouldn't change it, but at the same time, I do savor those moments when I don't have to get in the vehicle and head over to wherever I'm going.
Yeah. I am surprised at the holiday food traditions that families have. We got Joe Zepecki's family making sausages, Elizabeth Montmorel's making ravioli, Sherita Booker's making lasagna, Dan Hagen telling us about lefse and meatballs that they make. And I mean, honestly, it's like we throw it to Tino's 99-cent frozen pizza and we call it good, but what about you?
We are simpler, very simpler. I mean, sometimes it does vary. It gets you talk about the very simple. We've had very simple times. I don't even know what we're doing this year, but to be honest with you, but it usually is not. And it should. And frankly, as I get older, as my mom mm-hmm. gets older, that's the better way to do it. Especially as we get smaller. Sometimes we have the bigger group, and sometimes we'll get together with my sister's up north. We did that last year, which is really cool. And but at the same time, there's no need to kill ourselves at the same time either. I think right. that sometimes the simpler is the better. It takes away a little bit of that stress. And as I get older, I find myself leaning more and more in that direction.
Yeah. Got a couple of notes here online. Mary writes on Facebook, thanks to all of you. Well, thank you very much for that. Alicia on YouTube writes, Merry Christmas, everyone. Alicia also writes in, Pillsbury cinnamon rolls for Christmas morning.
Yep.
That's a nice one.
We're heading for Alicia's this year.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Roger and Stevens Point, question for Chad. Was the Rapids-Wausau West game last Friday night the most lopsided you can recall?
Well, that is funny because actually that night I did not do the West game. I did a Marathon Newman game, which I was very happy about when I found out what was going on there. But for people that didn't know, it was 60-12.
Oh,
and it was like, I think 26-4 at halftime, and it got worse and worse and worse. And
call off the dogs. Holy cow.
Normally you don't see it within the conference, within the Wisconsin Valley Conference. And that was like, I would not have wanted to have been on the Wisconsin Rapids bus that went home on Friday night. I think maybe a practice after they got back to Lincoln High School, and they were because 12 points in a game was not very, very good.
No. I was going to say, it's almost like the Jets lost this past weekend. Am I right? Suck it, Aaron Rodgers.
But by the way, that is not by far the most lopsided. I remember one of the things about basketball playoffs is sometimes there's a 16 versus 1 seed.
Oh, yes.
And there have been games in the 90s to 8, I've done. And you talk Ooh. About needing you need the material to hold. That is the challenge. Can you hold the audience in a 92-8 game?
I will say one of the reasons why Kevin Harlan is one of my favorite sportscasters is when the Minnesota Timberwolves were an expansion team, and when I lived in the Twin Cities at the time, for those first 5 to 10 years, I mean, they were horrible. And yet you tuned in anyway because the stories Kevin Harlan would tell, or the stuff he'd probably make up about what people in the crowd were doing, it was just hilarious, and you need that sometimes.
And actually, I read one time an article on the Athletic website exactly about the early days of the Wolves and the popularity Kevin Harlan had in terms of still to this day, Wolves fans remember those tough nights, but still loving those nights at the same time.
That's exactly it. Well, Chad, feel better soon. Merry Christmas to you, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Yeah, gentlemen, and feel better when you're back on January the 2nd, too. I don't want to hear you like me.
No, come back healthy. All right, thank you, Chad. Greg, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for everything.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Thanks for filling in. Bach in the Dock next Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Live 6 to 8 a.m. Tune in for that. I know I will. And thanks to all of you for being here as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. We'll see you next year.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33 to discuss the ranking of Christmas treats. We'll wrap up everything on our Christmas Eve show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing Holiday Edition.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The FAA had ordered all American Airlines flights grounded in the U.S. this Christmas Eve because of a technical issue affecting its entire system. Flights are now beginning to board, and the FAA has lifted the stop. As for other flight disruptions due to the weather,
so far, the winter weather hasn't had a dire impact on travel, but like most years, there may be some interruptions. Only a couple hundred delays this morning as far as air travel, but that number, of course, could rise. And if you are driving to your holiday destination today, be aware the roads could be slick. But the good news is AAA says it is predicting minimal impact on travel, and the average price of gas is hovering around $3.04 per gallon.
That's ABC's Ariel Reshev. Former President Bill Clinton hospitalized for observation. Doctors expect him to be discharged soon. Bethlehem is preparing to mark another somber Christmas in the traditional birthplace of Jesus. Under the shadow of the war in Gaza, the festive lights and giant tree that traditionally decorate Manger Square are missing. This is ABC News.
Your news.